Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott review another wine from Marietta Cellars, but this time they're Roman, the state-grown Zinfandel. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
That was rather long. Whoa.
It was. Do you know why?
Because you're fired up.
I am fired up a little bit. On tonight's show, we have another wine from Marietta Cellars.
Bingo, bingo.
They're Ronin. Oh, sorry. Roman. Roman. Zinfandel. It's their family series, estate grown. Triple B, though, unfortunately, is not on the show tonight.
Wait a minute. Now, this is Becky. I know I'm not on the show because I'm still HIPAA. I can't talk about the HIPAA.
Then why are you talking about it?
And I didn't say what was wrong with me.
Not Becky.
No, I'm not on drugs anymore. I stopped using them.
That's good.
Yeah.
See, that was Triple B passing out. I don't know why.
Welcome to the show, not Becky.
No, she will not be on the show for, what would you say, a fair bit. Couple of weeks.
Who knows?
For a while. You have to be able to walk up and down steps, too. So there's that. Yeah. There's just a few hurdling blocks, you know? Yeah, so it being an extreme pain. Although she sometimes is an extreme painter on the show. So
often.
Yeah, it's true. Emotional.
Shout out to Cuz, who was talking about the international tasting and the torture you put us through. So that would be a night where she was in extreme pain.
Well, next time he's in town, he can join for another mini bottle episode, mini bottle arama. I already have one in my mind.
Lord. Yeah. What a dangerous
place. Would involve actual shoplifting, though. So normally they don't break down like Sutter Home. So we could do like one of the Sutter Homes, but you'd have to buy a fucking 4-pack. Who the hell wants to do that? Yeah, I know. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that.
That's a lot of commitment.
It is a lot of commitment. It is.
And we need to be committed.
I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that.
But you've got that in your mind.
I had it in my mind, then I just purged it.
Well, so. Just drop a few of those little 4-packs.
Why? What am I going to do with the rest of them?
Just like you do when you get the wine discounted that I go and buy
discounted. Oh, you mean steal.
Well, you mar the label.
Oh.
Do whatever you do to get it marked to clearance.
Well, they're plastic bottles, so not like you can drop the other three and break them. But
damage the packaging.
The packaging already is damaged enough. Well, this wine.
When you do it, take Maggie in with you and blame it on the child.
Oh, sure. Yeah. She'd be like, no. I said, Maggie, are you a good girl? She goes, no.
Was that before or after she was stabbing you in the hand with her fork?
Much after. It was today as opposed to weeks ago. So, the wine, the Roman, it has 92% Zinfandel, 4% Petit Sirah, 4% Barbera, and hand-selected from their grapes in their estate vineyards in Alexander Valley, the Yorkville Highlands, and McDowell Valley. So, all of their higher-end sites are represented in this wine, which is interesting.
Look, for me, if I didn't know that, I would just look at this and say North Coast and go, meh.
But that is technically what that is.
Right. But yeah. It's from premium wine producing sites inside that region of North Coast.
Normally, though, if you're going to go North Coast, okay, you are going to mention Lake. It's going to be in Lake County, too, and this isn't.
That's what I would be nervous about.
They don't even really they do say North Coast in the back, yeah. Well, that's technically what you would call that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, only 1,500 cases produced.
If I was Marietta, I'd put that on the label.
What?
That where it's from, specifically the vineyards. It's got some more prominence.
Well, it does say that in the back. This Zinfandel is from our vineyards in Alexander Valley, McDowell Valley, and the Yorkville Highlands.
Yeah, I wouldn't even put North Coast on it.
Well, you know, you got to put some sort of direction on there. You have to.
You're right.
Well. And it's this is their winemaker, Roman Cisneros. That's his cellar, and he's the cellar master. So, and he's been there for 30 years. One thing that they say, they note, is that this is of the older Zin style, juicy fruit. And it kind of goes back before the days of things that are overly oaked. And they even say it harkens to an era before the dark, thick, and oaky styles of Zin took hold. Robert Bialy.
Robert Bialy, Bialy, Bialy. Robert Bialy, Bialy sucks.
Yeah, there are some of those wineries out there that I wouldn't necessarily say it's a style. I think they overdo everything. They overdo everything anymore. Everything is just pumped up, pumped up, pumped up to the point where you don't want to drink it. In California. I mean, some places aren't like that. I mean, France, Europe, whatnot. For the most part, those wines have stayed as they are. They might have a few lines that exist that do that. But California really is the main offender of that kind of behavior. And you got that with a little bit of the...
Australian.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. But that's just them. But... You know, your Mayomi shit and all that stuff that came from that. Aelawan, the Bello Gloss, all that shit. Cherry Pie. You've seen all those kind of things that are Pinots that are wildly too juicy and fruit forward to really be considered a classic Pinot. Zin, you know, you have the Prisoner, you have stuff like that. That's what they're taking a swipe at, really, with that kind of comment.
Yeah, sure.
So,
you know who doesn't do that, doesn't pump up their wines?
Marietta.
Yeah.
Marietta, they're more classic styles.
Look, anytime I see a product of theirs, there's an expectation of quality. They are a designated show favorite.
Mm-hmm. And this is in the low $20 range.
Yeah, so folks, if you haven't tried Marietta yet, get your hands on a bottle.
Yeah, a lot of competition in that price range, and they're very, very competitive. Yeah. So. We are going to take a break, and when we get back, we're going to get into this wine and have a marvelous, marvelous time here on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So the Marietta Roman Estate Zinfandel. Now, this is the 2020. The 19 vintage of this, which is sold out now on wine.com, really, really had high reviews, a 95 from Robert Parker, for instance. This wine has some good reviews, but not quite to that level. I had actually thought I was ordering the 19 and I got the 20 instead. It is what it is. Historically, this wine has always gotten the 90s when it's been reviewed, so... For the 19, a 95 from Parker, 93 from Suckling. Then the 17 was reviewed by Wilford.
Yes, I gave a 91 of my points.
That's how many points, Wilford.
Not what? What did you want? You want me to be a whore? I mean, really? Wilford, is that what you're asking me to be?
I think that's probably it's not possible.
Degradation. I mean, you know.
Well, you're degraded.
Oh, right? I would like that. Yes.
That would imply somebody would... Pay for services.
Oh, yeah, I would pay for services.
I'll bet you would pay.
Well, what are the services?
That doesn't make you a whore. That makes you a John.
Oh, no, my name isn't John.
When you pay for services.
You mean if I go into a public restroom? That's a call to John. Is that what you mean?
No.
Because I pay for services in there.
I'll bet you do.
I mean, you do too.
No.
Well, yeah, you've been there. Tamarack. Remember that?
I've done it too. I've dropped a deuce.
What? Well, yeah, that's an extra 20, Scott.
Oh, I'm just pointing that out.
And then a 15.
Wilford 90, wrong.
91 from Parker and 90 from, I'm sorry, 91 from the enthusiast and 90 from Parker. This one, though, does have some reviews. Hello, this is James Suckling. I did review this wine, and I perverted. I don't know why I was thinking that. Probably because Scott was talking about having some sort of...
A dookie.
Yes, with Wilford. But that's, you know...
Actually, Wilford was talking about that.
And Scott, just so you understand, that actually costs $25. That's what Wilford charges, so... why are you looking at me?
That's very specific knowledge.
I'm going to move on to my review. I gave this wine 92 of my points, and I wrote, aromas of red cherries, nutmeg, black pepper, and blackberries. Medium to full-bodied with some silky tannins. There is some nice spice here, which is well married to the crushed red fruit and berries. Chocolate finish. Okay. And then he restates the actual varietals and their chocolate finish. That's not undifferent than what Scott and Wilford had going on in the Tamarack. So, then Robert Parker gave it 92 of his points. And I don't have a voice for Robert, so...
Well...
A Southern man will have to do. This is a blend of Zinfandel, Petit Sirah, and Barbera. Remember Hanna-Barbera?
Hanna-Barbera.
Is that still a thing, Scott?
It's a thing.
It was Scooby-Doo, wasn't it? Was he Hanna-Barbera?
Sounds right.
There was a stupid ass bear too. What was his name? Had a hat on, and I had
HR Puffin Stuffs.
No, it was a bear, and it had a hat on, and then it had like a collar and a tie, but it didn't have any pants or any clothes on, so it just had the collar, and it was a nude bear. I don't know why I found that erotic. Never mind. The 2020
Jesus Southern
Roman Zinfandel has a medium ruby purple color and aromatic layers of raspberry, red cherry, rhubarb, aniseed, and lilac with touches of iron and orange peel. He didn't leave out any descriptor right there. Everything you could find, he put it in there. The medium-bodied palate is gently chewy with tart, juicy fruits and a spicy finish. Just like me. No, it doesn't work very well when I say it, does it?
Well,
that bear was naked, though, and it was, I don't want to talk about it. So, anyway, this is this thing Scott's written down for
Yogi
me.
Yogi Bear?
No, it was a taller one. Yogi's a little bear.
Yogi was a big
I'm
bear.
I'm not a pervert. It's not. It was the big bear. Yogi was the big bear?
Yogi was the big bear.
What was the little bear's name? Was it a little bear, too?
There was a little
there
bear.
There were two bears.
There were two bears.
It was Yogi Bear. It was, well, didn't you find it odd that he had a collar on with a tie, but it was naked otherwise? Why would a bear wear a tie and a collar? I don't understand that.
The collar goes with the tie.
Well, that's true. You can't really have a collar and a tie without it. One begets the other, I suppose. I don't know what begets means because I'm a Southern man, but I heard it said in church one time. And I was the only time I was ever in church because I talked about the bear, and they threw me out of the church. I don't know why. It's just, you know, cartoons. So, I don't need to know that.
Yogi Bear.
Yeah.
Made his debut in 1958 as a supporting character in the Huckleberry Hound show.
Oh, the Huckleberry Hound. Was he a sheriff? No. Was he a sheriff?
No. Huckleberry Hound was not a sheriff.
Okay. I don't know what
Huckleberry Hound was kind of got in trouble with the law a little bit.
Oh. A bad boy is what he did. Let's move on to a different topic. I'm making myself look unusual right now.
Well, you are.
So, in the glass.
Boo Boo Bear. Was Boo-boo. The little bear. Boo Boo Bear.
Okay.
Cindy Bear. And don't forget, Park Ranger Smith.
I did forget that.
Well.
But, you know. In the glass, it looks like a proper Zen. Dark.
It's dark. It's got legs that just coat the glass.
Mm-hmm. It's 14.6% alcohol, which is a level that I don't mind. You get it much above 15. Sometimes you have time travel, and that's rough.
Well, and I think it gets more difficult to have a balanced wine at those higher numbers. You know,
well, Turley can do it.
Turley does it well.
But it's...
I think Ridge does it well.
Ridge does... Yeah, they don't go up that high than normally.
With Pagani, like 15.3?
Yeah, but that might be on the high side for them. A lot of their stuff is in the 14s, so high 14s, but...
But beautiful legs in the glass. Mm-hmm. No real tartaric acid structure, so you're not going to expect this to have much in it acidity-wise. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. It's a beauty in the glass.
Yeah, deep plum color. Very deep plum.
And these are the Riedel Venom.
Venom Extreme.
Venom Extreme Zinfandel glasses. Mm-hmm. A.K.A. Chianti glass, A.K.A. Riesling glass.
Yes. Here I go. Oh, on the nose. The nose doesn't want to give much up. There is a slight bit of vanilla. There is lilac there, definite. And there is some blackjack licorice, blackberry. But it's subdued.
It kind of has, it's a bit of a young nose.
It is a young nose.
I feel like we've had this bottle together before.
No.
Did we have this at my house maybe one night?
I don't think so. We've had other Zins, many other Zins.
What? We've drank Zins together before? Mm. I don't remember that. Ever.
Mm, and just a little bit of grape jelly. Oh, Dimetap. Just get that. No, seriously. Jesus. Smell it. Smell Dimetap. It's a candied grape. I'm not complaining.
I'm just going to call it young.
It is. Let's go.
Deep purple. Not the band, the color in the glass.
It has a lot of body. It is almost like a quilt laying over your mouth. It is
as in quilt Cab Sauvignon or as in a blanket?
A blanket.
Okay.
Yeah. The flavor profile is somewhat short, but the mouthfeel is so distinctive and unique to this wine. It really does work in a way. I like the softness, but yet the weight of the wine. It is soft, yet it has weight, which is unusual.
But you're unusual. It's soft, but it has weight. They're kind of in contrast.
Let me explain something what that means, Scott.
Not unusual.
It just means it's real big. That's
for
all
you
it
to
means.
Be loved
soft,
by anyone.
Yet with weight. Yeah.
Sure.
Get what I'm talking about?
Well, I think you know about soft.
Does he need to draw you a picture?
You don't need any pictures, Wilfred.
He can show you that.
Soft but has weight. I would call this just on the verge of being full bodied.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. You know, once upon a time we talked about a scale to 10, and we said that anything over 7 was full bodied. I'd put this by those terms, I'd put this at like 6.8. out of 10.
This and 7 is where full body starts. This has a second layer that is deep and expansive and very nice. Tart blackberry, but a very thick, dark, tart blackberry. Because it just has a little bit of acidity. It keeps it clean. The chocolate finish I'm not quite getting, but I am getting some herbal notes, which are very, very nice. Some slight floral elements across the palate, which I enjoy quite a bit. It's a brooding wine, but stays fresh. It's not as, say you might say something's brooding from Rhone or Languedoc. That's fine, but this has a little bit sweeter fruits than that. It's not quite as savory as those get. So it's a little more maybe mass appeal for the United States than, say, something like that would be. But the idea, the depth is very similar with this wine to those.
I'm getting a little
it's almost like a 1,000-yard stair wine. You drink it and you're just sitting there like, ooh.
This is a thinker's wine. Mm-hmm. I'm getting a little earthiness, too.
No, that's what I'm saying. A little bit of the minerality kind of
sort of minerality, yeah. Something, like you said.
I haven't drank enough of it to know exactly.
But I'm not sure I would... It's almost got like a Pinot-like lithiness about it.
Yes, it does. That's the softness that I'm talking about.
But I think that's maybe a better description than soft. Mm. But regardless, soft or Pinot-like lithiness, again, just another wonderful demonstration of how Zinfandel can be so many different things. That's why I love that varietal.
Well,
I love this varietal. And yeah. I love how good many California producers are at it from different regions. And this is just yet another one. This is a blend of regions that's done artistically well by Marietta.
And it doesn't beat up your palate. And by that I mean, it doesn't, you don't have like this big punch of just over the top flavors. It's all depth. It kind of leans back a little bit and then says, come on in. And then it shows what's got. It isn't an assault of senses where, like a Segashio, I like it very much. But it's a
bigger.
Yeah. It's a
more bold
it hits
version.
You, it hits you more up front.
Yes.
And then it's a little more paint by numbers as it goes on. It's a good paint by numbers, but it is the same thing every time, partly because it's not 1,500 cases. It's 30,000 cases, for instance. Same thing with Dry Creek.
It's a bolder version. And Dry Creek's technically a more bolder version than this is.
But this is still bold, but it's bold in a different way. It's not upfront fruit bold. It's deep. It's a deeper wine.
Yes. Bold isn't a word I would use to describe this sucker, but here's what I'm gonna say. Once again, Marietta Vineyard spectacularly never gets in the way of the wine. They don't jazz it up. They don't try to do things with it that it shouldn't. It's all about the wine, and they're not trying to make a fruit bomb. It's just a beautiful job. They know what they are.
The herbaceous borderline tobacco mid-palate on this sucker is exquisite. It really is exquisite. It almost has an unusual sense to it, like a Contra Costa would, but in a good way.
It doesn't have that Contra Costa syrupy thing going on.
No, yeah. They left the cotton candy machine out in the hallway.
That tart blackberry is, for me, the superstar of this wine. I love those other things that are going on in the background, but I also think that is what people are going to love about this wine.
Yeah. Well, for those,
let me rephrase that.
It's the fruit
component.
That's
what's going to make this so approachable to everybody.
Well, it's
who isn't going to like this?
That's the fruit.
Who isn't going to like this?
There would be people that are really into a jammier wine. This is a little bit more mature of a wine.
Okay.
Especially at $20.
Okay.
If you normally drink...
Let's say somebody drinks The Prisoner. Are they going to like this? Yes.
Oh, yeah, because this is a better version of The Prisoner. This is everything in balance. This is, and they also use better fruit, mind you, but oaked properly. I mean, oaking as a just a nuance, not the component that controls the wine. This is better winemaking, naturally, and they're using better fruit. So, put that together, this is a much vastly superior wine than Prisoner. But, the idea is the same. It's just, this is more natural and just is a wonderful drink in the glass. I'm thinking about comps from other places, and there aren't a lot, because...
I can't think of maybe one of those newer Turleys escapes me. Which one was similar to this?
They typically be, but they, like the thing about Turley.
Like Library 101 or something?
Yeah, but see, those are all condensed, so they're as much of a single vineyard as anything.
Oh, yeah.
And so, and then like Juvie or the Old Vine, they're an amalgamation of multiple sites across the state. So they're Californian.
Yeah.
So, and they don't really necessarily narrow in like this. They are a little bit more the traditional juicy front.
I'll tell you the one I'm thinking of. It's the Hemingway that has that lithy kind of mouthfeel.
The Hemingway does have a bit different mouthfeel. It does. The Duarte also, but the Duarte tastes like a rubber band. So.
Rubber band, man. Rubber band, man.
Yeah, I know. So.
Duarte gone now, right? I think this was the last offering.
I don't know about that. Yeah. But it's a wine that is just it's mystifying of sorts. It's very interesting. It's
This is a wine that doesn't need food.
And no, I don't
honestly,
think
honestly,
so.
I think this is a wine that I would serve without food. Do you know what I mean? I'm just going to sit down and drink a bottle of wine. I've already had dinner. We're going to eat later. Oh. I would want this by itself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you could eat with it, but I wouldn't.
Yeah. That's... If you were going to serve food with this, what would you pair it with? Like a roasted chicken dish?
No.
Like a
Why do you keep
French?
Putting roasted chicken with this stuff?
Why not?
Because it's not...
Roasted chicken is delicious.
I know, but I wouldn't drink it with Zin.
You could.
I wouldn't...
You wouldn't... Drink roasted chicken with Zin?
I wouldn't eat roasted chicken with Zin.
Okay.
I would drink white wine.
What would you eat? You don't have to have white wine with roasted chicken.
I know, according to Wilford, but I would do that. Depending on how you prepare it, but I mean, if it's chicken parmesan, okay, you're not going to drink a white wine with chicken parmesan. I mean, there's different ways. I mean, there could be a way that you prepare chicken that would make you gravitate towards red, naturally. Yeah. But it's normally what you've done to the chicken or what's on the chicken. That
I would do to make chicken gravitate towards red.
Wow.
Roasted chicken with full of herbs. And I wouldn't want white with that. Mm-hmm. What would you suggest to pair with this as a food offering, sir?
One thing that this could go... Well, there's a couple. One, mushroom risotto.
Fair.
Duck.
Dark
meat.
Don't know that it could handle that fattiness.
Oh, it'd be just fine. It has enough weight. And we never talk about pairing things with duck because we don't really eat that much duck, but this would do well with that. Now, there's a certain way. If it was too sharp. I mean, I've had duck that was way too sharp and... But with capers, I mean, you can make it. You don't want that, but like, remember? Well, I still probably do. That's a bad example, but P.F. Chang's has the duck thing with like the little, like duck wraps. It's like shredded duck or something like that.
Huh.
Yeah,
I've never had it.
No, it's very, very.
Didn't they do like a duck? A spin on a duck orange dish. It wasn't duck l'orange, but. Like a duck dish with orange sauce?
I think there was a sauce on it. I mean, it's been, I don't know, 20 years since I've eaten that. So I don't ordinarily go into P.F. Chang's. Unless I want my sodium to be spiked.
But, well. You know.
That's salted. Why? Let's salt it. These prawns are off. Let's salt them.
Well, I'll be honest.
They're old.
I never had a bad meal from P.F. Chang's.
I've had one really bad
meal. Bad experiences. Didn't you on a road trip on one of the games you guys ordered carry out from PF Chang's?
No, I don't think it was a road trip for soccer. No, it was. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And you got bad food.
Yeah, it was salted prawns. It's not what you do.
But that's their dish, right? It's
No, it didn't say anything about a shit ton of salt.
Yeah, I think they do a salted prawn
dish.
Well,
it's salted all right, man. They just went out and got the Mortons and this is not sea salt, my friend. This is just table salt and a lot of it.
Well,
so isn't that too much salt? No, it's called salted prawns. No, it's not. Yeah. Oh, I just made that dish up. Ah, fuck it. These prawns are off anyway. Just throw some salt on them. That cures meat, doesn't it?
Cure the shrimp.
Yeah, it's got to stop some sort of disease. We don't want to kill him.
Cured of... It being food poisoning infected bacteria.
What the fuck was I ordering salted prawns? Anyway, it's stupid, but whatever.
What were you ordering prawns from P.F. Chang's for? You get the lettuce wraps. You get a couple dishes.
We got that, too. And I think that's what I ate.
Their soups are pretty good.
I don't know.
It's just pricey.
Yeah, it's not a place I frequent at all.
But I know still locally, the one at Easton, they're still banging.
Yeah, oh yeah, they're popular.
They're busy.
Well, I mean, upscale Chinese.
They know what they're doing. They have a nice menu, big menu for what it is, for the level quality they try to pull off. Well, they have a pretty good size menu.
Well, they keep a fairly upscale interior, mm-hmm. and they keep it maintained. So it's not falling apart. It doesn't look like shit in there. Carpet's not ripped up. Doesn't smell bad.
Open air kitchen.
Yeah. So, I mean, you do that, like McCormick and Schmitz. It went out of business. Why? This is in Columbus, mind you.
They're still open. But head it out.
Well, they're remodeling it and putting in a new concept. But that the reason why is because they let it fall to pieces. You had carpet that was from like a Sheraton in 1978. And this building wasn't built in 1978. And it was torn up, just like the carpet in the Sheraton. And it smelled like a 1978 Sheraton. It's like, why? Why can't you maintain this damn thing? It's like, well, I don't want to go eat shellfish at a 1978 Sheraton. Oh, go figure. What are you, an elitist? No, I just don't want to have food poisoning. So, you know. I can get a whole lobster for $14.99. And I did that.
We're in an upscale restaurant that's not been taken care of cosmetically.
Yeah.
You wonder if they take care of their business in the back room.
Oh, well.
I.e. food safety.
Well, years ago, this was like 23 years ago, my friend Adam and I were in D.C., went down there on a like a 5-day trip, whatever. And so we're just walking down the street at night, and there's a McCormick and Schmitz. I didn't know what that was. None of that is Adam. And we went to one in downtown Washington, D.C. It was really cool. They had like the booths where they had the curtains. I don't know why the hell they had that, but it was really...
That wasn't the McCormick and Schmitz you went to.
Okay, well, it must have been afterwards, but still, it was really cool.
Did you like use quarters to put on home videos? In your little curtained booth?
Is that what that was? I don't know.
We'll have to ask Adam.
It was from 1978 Sheridan. I was like, what the hell? That woman's very hairy. But, oh well. That's okay. So, folks, we're going to take a break. And then we're going to come right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri, we have a very popular segment. It's best known.
It's allegedly popular.
Well, we have asked Dr. Vinny. It's a Wine Spectator. There's some bullshit artist named Dr. Vinny. I don't think he's actually a doctor. I haven't checked his credentials. But we do have a medical professional on our show as well.
That's right. This is Wilford. I'm the medical assistant. No, what was I? Physician's assistant.
Of course you are.
Physician's P.A. Wilford.
Ask physician's assistant Wilford.
I'm studying for my license to be called a doctor. I failed. That's okay.
That's not unbelievable.
No. You should wear pants when you're going to take your test.
Probably should.
They threw me out. Bastards.
And
what?
Just because you're used to sticking your fingers in places that proctological exams take place in doesn't make you a doctor. Doesn't matter how many times you've done it, Wilfred.
Scott, I've only stuck my finger in my butthole like 4 times a day. Don't you do that to check?
Nobody does that four times a day.
Check my own prostate all the time. Oh, fist up. But no, I don't do that. Scott, this
doctor?
Yes. No, I'm not a doctor.
Doctor's assistant, physician's assistant,
yes, PA,
Wilfred.
If you can't remember all that.
The question we have for you tonight is...
Oh, by the way, you didn't explain what Dr. Vinny... They get emails and made up shit We don't make up things on
we
our show.
We never make up emails on our show.
No, we do not. They're real, but they aren't. And they post them on their website. And Dr. Vinny answers the really stupid fucking questions people ask. So, Scott, please start. And I'm going to answer them. So, you know. Go.
Physician's assistant Wilfred.
Yes, yes. That's me.
This is from Dennis in Parker, Colorado.
Dennis is a dumb name, but go ahead, yes.
Why is Dennis a dumb name?
Because this guy's name is Dennis.
Go ahead. Not menacing enough for you?
Ha ha.
How do you soften a hard cork?
What'd you say?
How do you soften a hard cork?
Are you trying to say something but are accidentally saying cork? Are you talking? So Dennis wants to know how to soften something that's hard. That's strange. Dennis, you mean when you wrote cork, that's just one letter away. Yeah, okay. Normally, if I want to soften a hard cork, I just walk in the room and that pretty much takes care of it.
That'll do it.
Now, normally, yes.
Or just speak.
But for me, when I'm wearing sweatpants, and
oh,
that sometimes it's inopportune, I guess would be the term. And so how do I soften it then? I don't. I put a coat over my lap and sit there for 15 minutes. And then I check. And sometimes it's okay. And sometimes I am waiting another 15 minutes and getting a second coat. But it's strange when you're stealing other people's coats to put on your lap. But I don't know. I just say, I'll hold your coat for me. Oh, yeah. And I do that. They scream and run away. But, cork, not cock. Okay, I don't know why you'd want to soften a cork. Where are you putting it back in the bottle. That's what Dennis
was worried about. Putting it back in.
Why would you do that, Dennis? Throw it away, you stupid dick. I mean, you want to buy vacuum Vin. Do that. It costs $12. It's on Amazon. Get a vacuum Vin, and they have rubber stoppers, and then you can vacuum Vin it properly. You don't need to. My cork is hard. What the hell? By the time a cork gets hard, it's been out of the bottle too damn long anyway for any use, unless you have some other use for your cork, Dennis.
Now, Wilfred, you might like this.
Oh.
Guess what Dr. Vinny suggested?
What's he said, guest?
He said if you're trying to remoisten it.
Oh.
Or to help limit further drying out.
Put it in your mouth.
You can do so by applying some food-grade mineral oil.
Oh, smear it in Vaseline.
That's not food grade mineral oil.
I know,
sir.
But why do you want to soften a cork? I suppose if you're bottling your own wine, but no.
There are.
Dennis. And by the way, Dennis has two N's in it. They misspelled Dennis. But anyway, Dennis, do you own mannequins? I want to know that because there's this guy in Columbus and near Gahanna. He's selling mannequins, and you could buy them from him. You had to pick it up at his house. What was his name? You remember, you went and bought the mannequin. It's here now. It's awkward. We replaced the Triple B with a mannequin.
Did you know that?
She's a sassy mannequin.
Did you know that wine guy has a male friend that he likes to go to bars with, particularly bars that have dressed up mannequins in the
first
corner.
Of all, that guy is a fan of the show. Well, not fan. He listens to the show. He's obligated. So don't be suggesting things about that gentleman. He's also a black belt in some sort of martial arts. And kick your ass.
And Wilfred, the wine guy,
yeah,
goes to this bar.
I did, yeah.
With this gentleman.
Mm.
And it has dressed up mannequins in it. I think you'd like this place.
It did have dressed up mannequins.
You've been there?
Yes, I go everywhere where the wine guy does, surprisingly. He's in your mind, but anyway, this mannequin is Mike's Pizza and Pub, I believe is what it was. And the mannequin had a wig on it, naturally, it can't grow hair. But then it had a Christmas sweater, and it looked like a man's face, but a woman's wig. And then obviously a woman's torso, because they had the sweater was a Christmas sweater. And it had like two handprints where the woman's breasts were.
And it was the sweater.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't.
It was the sweater.
Yeah.
I think we've all seen those sweaters. They're silly Christmas sweaters.
You bought that for somebody, didn't you? And they didn't wear it.
No.
Did you buy it for yourself? You could use it.
No.
Okay, go. Get back on keto. Okay. What's the next question?
Physician's assistant Wilfred.
Yes, yes, thank you.
Can a cork-tainted bottle of wine cross-contaminate other bottles in my cellar?
Okay.
Cork-tainted bottle.
I mean...
kind of takes your breath away, doesn't it?
What's his name? Ted. Oh, he's... Oh, Straight Talk. That's what... Ted on Straight Talk.
Straight Talk podcast.
Yeah, I mean... Okay. Let's just be... Okay. It is a bacteria. So, in theory, I guess, but what would the bottles be doing with each other to get that? Bottles, are you rubbing the tops of bottles together, Ted? What? So, in theory, bacteria can spread, but in practice, why would your bottles be that close to one another?
What are the bottles doing in there? What are they? I never know what they're doing in there.
I mean,
they're rubbing their corks together.
I mean, your bottle of Ronin by Clean A should not be, you know, cavorting with other bottles of Ronin. If you do that, Bicycle Man will have a bottle that's tainted. But don't do that. These aren't Barbie dolls where you have a Barbie and a Ken, and you pretend like they're kissing, and then Ken takes off Barbie's clothes, and the... Maybe that's just specific to my childhood, so let's just move on. What's the next question?
It's like toys where they're taking off their aluminum foils and they're rubbing their corks together in the background.
That's kind of.
When Rob the Wine Guy comes home, everybody's hurrying to put their aluminum foil back in place.
What was that motion you just did? I'd like to dry hump my bottles of wine together. It's mildly unusual, Ted. I'm not calling you a pervert. I'm just saying you're a pervert. Yeah.
Uncle Wilfred.
Yes, yes.
The physician's assistant.
Yeah.
Susan from Georgian has a question.
Oh,
Georgian.
Susan, yeah.
Susan. She shook a bottle of wine that had sediment on the bottom.
Why? That fucking...
And now it's cloudy. Will the sediment fall back to the bottom? Is the wine still drinkable?
Okay. Susan, first of all, yes, it is. But second of all, why are you shaking your wine? Don't do that.
Well, she was dancing and was holding her wine.
She's doing one of these things?
Just kind of got all shook up.
Why? It's not like you can mix it back in there. Sediment has fallen out. It's particles that have fallen out of the wine. If you shake your bottle of wine, you're just mixing the particles back in the wine, but it's not like... It's not tang. It doesn't come. It doesn't like join back. It's chemically separated. You
tang.
Dumb tang.
Our listeners don't know what tang is.
Gatorade. I don't know. Some sort of powdery drink. It's not crystal light. Susan would know that probably. I think.
Even Wilfred, I thought you had another meaning for the word tang.
It's no. Poong tang. Yeah.
What?
Yes. There
That's
you go.
That's disgusting.
That's what you
Why
wanted
would you
to
say
hear.
That?
You pervert. But still, what are you doing, Susan? My bottle has sediment. I was shaking. Don't do that, dummy.
Why are you assuming Susan's a dummy?
Because she shook a bottle of wine.
Well, that's
your
not the smartest thing.
Your Blackstone Merlot shouldn't be shaken.
What?
No, stir it.
James Bond.
That's right.
Shaken, not stirred.
What's the next question?
Well, this is a perfect question for you, Wilfred.
Oh.
It's from Kirby.
Kirby?
Kirby. Kirby's from the United States.
I've never trusted a man named Kirby.
What if it's a woman named Kirby?
Then she probably has very handsome features, and that works for me. Go ahead.
That's insulting.
No, I said it works for me.
I said Kirby is probably very handsome.
That's what I just said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why did you use the word handsome to describe a woman?
You can use the term handsome to describe a woman.
Typically not if she's very good looking.
What if she has a beard? Then you'd call her handsome.
Well,
yeah.
Flowing hair. You would probably call her
beard.
Something else.
Yes. I would call her my date.
You would call her your date?
No. She would call me her assailant, but that's okay.
Well,
that's after the fact at the police station.
brother Melvin's looking out for you.
Melvin? No.
Kirby asks,
yes, yes.
How long can champagne be stored in a wine cooler or fridge?
Refrigerator or wine fridge?
Fridge.
I mean, you know, that's a wine. It depends on the temperature, for one thing. But first of all, I don't think you're buying good champagne. So your cooks, you should drink that very quickly. Really, they can age well, but you have to really keep them at proper cellar temperatures. That's the best thing. So if your cellar, your cooler, is at cellar temperatures, that's okay. But if it's not, it's not okay. Too cold, that's a bad way to store something. So, you know, there's a really expert. I just did a good job there, I think. But he's not buying good things.
She.
She?
Kirby's a she.
Here?
Yes.
He didn't say ma'am.
She identified her pronouns as she and her.
Oh. Oh,
God, you can't read.
I don't know. Go ahead.
Well,
I saw a good one.
You did?
Yeah, you wouldn't know. Well, I'll just read it. Can you cook with non-alcoholic wine? This was asked by Faith, who's a woman, probably.
Well.
Not a smart one.
Have some faith.
Yes. So, Faith wants to know,
well,
can
Fred,
you...
Why are you stereotyping more than one woman as not being smart?
Because she asked this question. You can cook with anything. It's not can you do it. Should you do it? That's the question.
Oh.
And then it depends on what does it taste like. So, if it's dry, maybe, but normally they're not, because alcohol comes from breaking down sugars. So, if you have a sweet, well, basically you're talking about Welch's grape juice. Would you cook with that, Faith? No, you would not, would you? No, you wouldn't. Why would you do that? I mean, you can make punch, but you don't want to make punch.
No, I want to make punch.
Yeah. If you want to make, you know, beef bouillon, you're not going to use Welch's grape juice to make that.
No,
would that
not
taste good, Scott? I'm just asking.
What's the rule of thumb, Wilfred?
You never cook the well something you wouldn't drink.
Which really doesn't limit anything for you now, does
no
it?
No. You know what I cook with sometimes, Scott?
What do you cook with sometimes, Wilfred?
Hydrogen peroxide. I don't know why, but it has bubbles, so I kind of treat it like champagne. Yeah.
Is that the secret to your mom's fluffy pancakes?
It doesn't go down smooth, by the way.
Well.
No.
But it takes care of your ulcers in your mouth.
Yeah.
Those cold sores.
He also suggests just use water. Use broth or fuck that. Use water. Don't use. No, he doesn't suggest. Dr. Vinny doesn't suggest non-alcoholic wines. But once again, Faith, what does the non-alcoholic wine taste like? I think I know the answer to that, but there you go.
The fuck is alcohol, non-alcoholic wines in the first place?
Grape juice, that's what that is.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, you know, you buy that stuff. I don't drink it, so I don't know.
Ladies and gentlemen, Wilfred Wrong.
Thank you, everybody. Now, I have a new web. I don't have a website, but it's called Pornhub. Pornhub.com. Go on and check it out. My favorite website. I mean, it's my website. You look up Wilfred Wong. Look up Wong.
Wrong.
Well, look up
Wilfred
Wong.
Wrong.
On Pornhub, and you'll enjoy that.
Wilfred Wrong.
Scott just did that, so thank you.
So, folks, we're going to take a break, but we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. Now, one thing I would like to let you know, Scott's been looking up Wilfred Wong, his website, And Wilford can be hired for wet t-shirt contests. He likes to judge, and that's his favorite thing.
That's right. Wet t-shirt contests, male or female. Although I'm not familiar with any male wet t-shirt contests that I've been a judge at. I've been there many times, but...
So you've been a participant?
No, I sprayed water on men that were walking down the street, and I judged them.
I thought you sprayed water on yourself, and you did the maniac dance.
No, I tried to do the same thing to make them comfortable.
Oh, that's what you were concerned with, their comfort.
I don't run very fast, I found, so I stopped doing that.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah, I know. It hurt. People are mean.
You suffer a lot of beatdowns, don't you, Mr. Wrong?
I'm not known for my fighting technique. So, normally I employ drugs before that, so I avoid the fight.
Easy. What? Remember what your attorney told you.
Why? I'm a character. It's different.
You're a character, all right.
It's satire, Scott. They don't know who I am.
Satire? This is not Asian food.
That's racist right there. I just knew that. I knew it was in you. You and your white sheet with your holes cut out. That's just you. Bastard.
Anyway, so the Marietta Roman from North Coast.
Let's go through this one more time before we give the rating. The thing for me that I believe most of our listeners are going to appreciate about this wine is that wonderful blackberry at the front, and then this lithiness. Rob called it soft. I think that's underselling it. I think it has a lithy-like mouthfeel, like a Pinot.
Nah.
But it's a bigger, almost a full-bodied wine. Marietta, as always, has not done anything to jazz this up. They haven't done anything. You know, they haven't jacked up the oaking. They allow the grape to talk. And this is, I wouldn't say this is my favorite from Marietta, but I really I really appreciate this in Vindel.
The Christos and the Arme, I mean, that's hard things to live up to. But this wine in and of itself is a wonderful, wonderful rendition of Zinfandel. It is soft on the palate, yet weighty. It is the most unusual thing in the world. I don't know that I go for full lithy, but I do think that it does have hints
in
of
that ballpark.
The hints of and the idea of a really good classic Pinot in some of the elements it shows. That's just based on mouthfeel complexity. And complexity can come in different ways. You can have flavor complexity, and you can also have layer complexity. So the wine itself is showing multiple different layers of mouthfeel. And that is really where it's at. This wine is a mouthfeel wine.
And keep in mind, this doesn't come across as a Pinot. We're just taking a couple characteristics and making a comparison point. And that's what kind of stands out about this. Well, it makes it different than other Zins.
It ascends. It transcends what Zinfandel is a little bit. And it's way more interesting than you're going to find a lot in the $20 range, except for things that are titled by, made by Marietta. So, I mean, this whole line, we haven't tasted anything that wasn't great. Not good. Great. This wine is great. And it's a interesting take. It is traditional in many senses. I mean, you know, this is Zen. But at the same time, it's so much more serious than what you're normally seeing. And it isn't just they don't round off a single corner. Everything is made to a standard that you just aren't seeing in low 20s. You're seeing it in more esoteric single vineyard stuff in the 40s and the 50s, from Turley and other places like that, that really, really micromanage and really break down their production in little bite size. But this is only 1,500 cases. This is tiny. This is way less production than Juvenile from Turley and Old Vine, way less. And it's way less than some of the smaller ones than that. This is a very, very small production Zin, but it's available. But it tastes of small production. It really, I mean, there have been, which we also have, the lot, whatever, it's Lot 72.
Lot 72.
We have that in the wine vault. We might do that next week. it is such a kind of a microcosm of what Zen can be when done in an artisanal way. And this is artisanal.
Marietta treats their wines properly.
Oh, yeah. It tastes like they took their time to really make this wine as good as it could be, as opposed to made this wine because they had 30,000 cases to make and they wanted to make something that people would like. But at the same time, when you do that, it doesn't connect quite like this wine does for me. This wine connects a little bit better.
I think the price point's spot on.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know it's not a $12 wine.
Mm-mm.
It's a bit on the unique side for Zen. Just a little bit. And no more unique than any of the other unique Zens that are out there. It's just really well done. I like the soft mouthfeel. The subtle earthiness in the mid palate.
Yeah.
It's not the biggest tannic thing there is.
Eh.
I'm not sure.
That really is a Zen thing either.
Well, so. But, it's more of a drink now wine. I think holding it a year would be okay.
Yeah, 2-3 years max. It's not. You're not going to gain anything, I don't think, over that.
I don't think that's what they're making this for either.
No.
This is a drink now. And it's a really good drink now.
None of their wine. Maybe Christos is the only one that has a little bit of.
Hermes could hang for some time, too.
Yeah, but it really tastes so well today. It's like, why wait? So.
It's a hard thing to why wait on any of the Marietas.
Yeah, they're all great. I mean, as a line, it was our winery of the year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it deserves every accolade for that.
I bought like a half case to try and hold the Christo. But every so often, Princess is out of the wine she buys. She's, can we get wine? So the Cristo has not been aged the way I want it to, and I think I'm down to a couple bottles of it.
Yeah, Cristo's is just,
it's so nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have to say I like those two better than I like this one.
Yeah.
But that's fine.
That's completely reasonable.
And it's not to downplay this.
No. Those are two really exceptional wines.
That's the only... I wish this had more tannins to it. I wish this had something more to it. But I still wish
and
it had more tannins
and
to it.
Well, why? It's McDowell Valley. It's Yorkville Highlands. And it's Alexander Valley. Those aren't for Zen. Those aren't renowned for being tannin bombs. It's just,
well, I'm not saying I want a tannin bomb.
Or even tannic.
Just like a
but
little
more that's
than
not
this.
What that's not what these
I'm just
things
saying.
Are.
And I'm just
quite
saying.
Frankly, there aren't a lot of heavily tannic Zens out there. They just aren't like that. So, what's your score?
I like this as an 88 of my points. It's really high on the drinkability scale. It has merit. It's really well done. And it's from a region where they're not necessarily, I mean, Alexander, yeah, they do wines. They do Zins really well there. But the other areas, they're not exactly known for Zins.
Yes,
right?
they are. This is on a very small scale. McDowell is tiny.
Really
Yorkville
tiny.
Highlands is tiny. They do Cab, they do Zin.
Thought Yorkland Highlands is more known for Pinot.
No.
From production wise.
No, that's Anderson Valley. So, no. Yeah.
Regardless, not the most panache in those regions for Zins. And Marietta's done a good job. Highly approachable. That's where I'm at 88. It just doesn't blow me away. But I'll buy this. Yeah, I'll buy this. It's, just another staple in Marietta, and anything Marietta puts out, I'm going to buy.
Now it's on to me. Now, rarely does the Soviet music ever come on the show for someone other than Becky, but apparently she has recruited you for a Spy Tech Network because that 88 is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard you fucking say. 91 of my points.
Too high. Overscored.
No, Scott, your 88 is dog shit. That is a terrible score. Terrible. One of the worst scores you've ever produced. This thing is no to give it something other than a nine something is a travesty. If you want to give us a 90, fine. That's fine. It's an 88 to 91, but an 88 or an 89 to 91, but it's no way.
I would go 88 to 89.
No.
It
dumb.
Just doesn't
rank
with the other Marietta products. It's not as good.
Well, those are all 92s, 93s. That's where they are. They're in the mid-ish low 90s. They're not 90s. They're 92, 93. Those are really great wines. Besides the fact, different varietals. You can't compare a Zin to a Cab.
Well, that's fine, but that's my score. I stand by it.
Dumb.
It's
a 91.
I really like
it. This wine as a Zin stands alone a lot of ways, partly because the complexity is just so different, but so lovely. It is not a cookie cutter Zin, but it's still so pleasing and approachable for many, many people. If you like Prisoner, save half your money.
Oh, God.
Because this wine is superior in all respects.
It's just dumb to even think that Prisoner's as good as this.
This wine really gets subtlety. It understands nuance. If you appreciate those things, if you don't normally drink a $5 Chilean piece of shit or whatever Scott drinks, then you'll understand this wine. Scott just doesn't understand it. He doesn't have the palate. He doesn't have the background.
Oh, stop.
He doesn't even know what McDowell Valley is. He thinks that's McDonald's. It's okay.
I love McDonald's.
It's not your fault.
I love McDonald's and McDowell Valley.
I think you're understanding that.
Oh, stop.
So,
now,
the fact that Scott doesn't quite have the chops or the knowledge or the emotional support to really understand this
support?
Wine. Forget all that. This wine is a great wine. It is a Hall of Fame wine.
Mm.
It just is.
Oh, God.
And really
not
good Zin.
Not Hall of Fame.
Scott, don't be
not. Not quite.
Now, from a classic standpoint, the best classic Zin I've had recently was the Green and Red. That was, what was it? It was a Chili's Valley. That wine, oh, from a spicy classic, well, not quite stereotypical, but it was everything like a Zin that you really equate to that. Oh, is that wine good? But this wine is so brooding and nice. 91.
So I just had that L'Astoria from Trentadue.
L'Astoria from Trentadue.
Mm-hmm. And it was fan-fucking-tastic. L'Astoria from Trentadue. I had it. You didn't have it.
No, I know that. But the name is familiar, but I can't quite picture what it looks like.
I showed you the picture last week. And for me, why this doesn't get that 90 score, because it's a drink now wine, and it's a really good drink now wine.
Well, how many,
but it's not great.
You age in a lot of Zins?
Yeah.
Why?
Why not? Same reason you do. You stick your Ridge away. You're sticking your Turleys away.
Well, the Ridge costs twice as much as this.
Well,
so does the Turley.
Well, not
the Juvie. Juvie, you give 2-3 years and you roll with it.
If we stole Vine in the Juvie are in this price range.
Well, the old Vine is a little more drink now, but the Juvie, they release it too early. It's bottle shock to the nth degree. That they even change the release schedules because they recognize that they release their wines too early. And so with a lot of Turley wines, they need to be held for a year before you touch them because they're just not ready.
That's because
they must bottle them late. They must bottle them and ship them. You know what I mean?
They're holding on to them.
I don't know. It just doesn't seem like they have a lot of bottle age.
They're holding on to them.
I don't know.
What did we just receive? 2021.
Yeah, but just because it doesn't mean it's bottled then. It means it's been aged. So if you're barrel aging something for 14 months or 15 months, you see what I'm saying? You got to do the math. I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. But I'm sure there is some sort of bottle. It's not like they put it in them. But it doesn't seem
we'll
like...
We'll find that out. We'll call Turley and we'll find out.
So you gotta like figure that out because some of them do have another 6 months in the bottle, but they don't really say that.
For me, this is... Sorry about your umbrage. I'm sorry to offended you that I scored this appropriately and then we have a different opinion
on
something.
You didn't offend me. You offended God.
Lord. Now you're calling yourself God. No.
I forgive you for you know not what you do.
Drink now wine. It's really, really good. And the other thing is, maybe I just don't like it as much as you do. And that's okay.
It's okay. You just need to smoke less cigarettes.
But it doesn't have this great finish. It's a little short, but it's really, really good. Mm. I love the fact it has that earthy tone in the center. That little, you called it lilac. I don't know. There's just a little
on the
hint
nose.
Of sweetness.
That's on
in
the
there.
Nose.
Little there, flowery thing in there.
It's that's on the nose. It's more distinct on the nose. On the palate, it's a little more generic.
Yeah, it kind of sort of comes and goes, but you know, it's just it's not the most complex thing. It's
oh,
just
it is complex.
It's just unique, and I like that uniqueness, but it doesn't blow me away. And I'm not giving it a 91.
That's because you're dumb. So, no, folks.
I just explained it.
A 91. Hall of Fame.
Not.
It is, Scott.
Average score?
Doesn't matter. Oh, when we give her 92?
89.5. 92. There you do it. That's dead. And I'm the dumb one.
Can't go 92.
No, you just did. No, you just did.
91's
no,
top
no,
of the
no,
mark.
No, 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 no,
no. If you gave it an 89, I would still think you're an ass. But 88 is just score. Like, man, we've given some pretty average wines 88s. 88 is a it's not a great score in my opinion.
Oh, well, that's fine.
This then wine is just better than 88.
Then your 91 balances hey, me
Robert
out.
Parker said
very,
a 90.
Very,
you know what?
Rare.
It's got 292 professional reviews. So I wonder how good the 19
one,
was.
One
semi. Two. But Parker gave it 92. I gave it 91. You gave it 88. That gets it up. So that's good enough. I didn't do the math, but I'm sure it works.
James, do the math?
James did it too, so yeah.
Yeah.
James is very professional.
Sure he is.
So
particularly when you do his voice.
So, Marietta, tip of the cap, bravo, another great wine. I look forward to drinking some other more stuff. And Scott, this is one thing I'll agree with you with.
All right. Where's it
at? The Old Vine Red. We'll probably do this next week. This is by Marietta Cellars. This got 95 from Parker. And it's $16. It's their entry-level stuff. I will... this wine I will not budge on. I think this wine is great. The old OVR, historically...
It's bad.
It's not bad. It's just a nice drinker. It's a simpler wine.
I've had some OVRs that's passed. Been good, and I've had some that have been bad.
Well, okay, well, that's fine. You know, but
when we first started doing the Marietta, I didn't know this was in their library.
Well, historically, though,
I think the first bottle of theirs we did, I talked about that, and it was in Princess's wheelhouse. She would buy it regularly, and sometimes it was really good, and sometimes it was shit.
Well, it's because it's lots, and what? Marietta. Let's be frank. Marietta has had a bit of a renaissance in the last few years. They've always been good. They've always been good, but I never had the Cristo until recently. I mean, it's these last several vintages that really have been amazing. And is that historically accurate or consistent? Not necessarily. They've always been pretty good, but have they been something that stood above a Renwood or Ravenswood or
I didn't have
Zagetia?
Any of their stuff until we had I didn't have any of their stuff until we had the Cristo. I had the OVR, but wasn't really aware it was Marietta Vineyards.
Well, for a while there it was $12.99 and it was fine. It was just a simple Jamie Red, you know?
Yeah.
Brambly at best.
Yeah.
And it was more of and I think if you looked at the scores back in those days, and that wasn't that long ago, 3-4 years ago. You were talking about an 85-point wine.
The OVR.
Yeah.
Right.
Now it's 95, and I haven't had the 73 yet. I've had the 72, and it got 94. Had a couple bottles of that. And it was nice. Was it 94? No.
We'll see.
Wasn't as good as this.
We'll do it soon.
We will do it soon. So, folks, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Licensed Taxi Driver, we're going to bid you adieu. But we'll see you next time. Here. On the Wine Vault. Good night.